Na, on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, we're already up to the Mishnah, Fred?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. So the Mishnah talks about what activity would be demonstrative enough to create a chazaka. As we know, the concept that we've been dealing with now for 3 weeks almost is that if there's a fight, there's a marakama, there's an original owner who has proof that he used to own the field, and he's fighting with a machzik, with a resident who is currently on the field, and he's telling the machzik, you need to go off, it's my field, here I have proof, my father built the house, or it used to belong to me. So the machzik, where is his proof that he owns the field? He claims that the marakama sold it to him. Where is his proof? So we have a concept that if he's here for 3 years without a protest, so that itself is pretty significant. That's a bit of a proof that he in fact did buy it and his claim is correct. And we say after 3 years, a person normally will misplace the documents that he has and he will he'll lose them. So we understand why he doesn't have the document of sale. And the fact that there was 3 years with no protest makes us presume that he is the rightful owner. So now the Mishnah describes which activities are activities that an original owner would have protested about. And if he didn't, that's a proof that the resident's claim is strong. And which activities, as we've learned earlier, people forgive. So as we said, you know, if a son is squatting on his father's field, we can't say after 3 years that's a proof that the son probably bought it from the father. Because the father normally forgives the son. He just lets him be on the field without fighting with him. So what are activities that do create a presumption of ownership and therefore negate the squatter from having to produce a deed of ownership? And which activities do not create a presumption of ownership? So Elu Dvarim...
Inheriting is not included, Rabbi?
No.
Only sale between father and son?
If there's an argument of a sale, and one doesn't have a deed of sale, but he's been here for 3 years without a protest, being here with 3 years without a protest is the equivalent of a deed of sale, if there should have been a protest. But if it was a son against a father, well, we know that there won't be a protest because the father forgives the son. So that's not the equivalent of a deed of sale. He still needs a deed of sale if he wants to win the case. Says the Mishnah, Elu Dvarim Sheish Lahem Chazaka. The following are activities which, if they are done for 3 years without a protest, create a chazaka, create a presumption that the man doing this activity is the rightful owner, and his case is strong. But these are activities that, if done even for 3 years without a protest, do not create a chazaka. For example, Hayamamid Behema Bechatzer. If the resident has been putting an animal in the courtyard, or Tanur Rechaim V'Kirayim, or he's put an oven. Tanur, as we've learned back in the Sechah Shabbos, is a strong oven. Kirayim is a less strong oven. Or he put millstones in the courtyard, or Megadol Tarnagolim, who's raising chickens in the courtyard, or No Sin Zvalo B'Chatzer, he's throwing out all of his garbage, his manure, which could be used as fertilizer, into the courtyard. These are activities that ain't a chazaka. Do not create a presumption that he's the rightful owner. But if not only did he put his animal into the courtyard, he also built in the courtyard a wall for the animal. Gesundheit. That is 10 tfachim tall. Or v'chein latanur, you put it in the oven, and he put a wall in around the oven. V'chein l'kirayim, you put in the kirayim, the middle level oven, and a wall around them. V'chein l'rechayim, or millstones with an oven. Or hichnas tarnagol l'soch habayis, or if you put chickens not into a courtyard, but into a house. V'asa makam l'zivlo amok shlosho, or if he made, he dug a spot in the courtyard for his manure that's 3 tefachim deep, or gavoa shlosha, or he made an area 3 tefachim tall, he put a 3 tefachim tall partition around the manure. Arezu chazaka, that's already an act of acquisition. And if 3 years went by with this behavior without a protest, he has demonstrated that he's the owner and he's the one who wins the court case. So the Gemara asks, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa, why is there a difference between bringing an animal into my friend's courtyard versus bringing an animal and putting up a wall around the animal in my friend's courtyard? Isn't it normal for people to be upset when somebody else brings an animal into their courtyard? And therefore, if the guy didn't protest, that's a sign that he's really not the rightful owner, that he sold it. Amar Ula Ula explained, Kol shilu b'nichsei ager kana, b'nichsei chaveiro kana. Kol shilu b'nichsei ager lo kana, b'nichsei chaveiro lo kana. So Ula says an important rule. We've been talking about this phrase, chazaka. Chazaka really means a hold on a territory, that it's in a person's domain, it's in a person's control. Now, there are two meanings to the word chazaka. You can have a chazaka to acquire something, and you can have a chazaka to support your argument. A chazaka of acquisition is the Mishnah in Maseches Kiddushin. The Mishnah says land can be acquired with 3 ways. Kesef, shtar, and chazaka, with money, with a contract, or with showing acquisition, which we've learned earlier is Nal Gadar Uparatz. If I put up a wall, if I break a spot in the wall to enable a person to walk in and out, if I fence an area or I lock an area, that's a chazaka to show acquisition. So what would be a classical case? If there was a convert, so a convert by law does not have relatives because his former relatives aren't Jewish, so he doesn't have relatives. So a convert who dies, let's say he didn't have children after he converted, so once he dies, his property becomes ownerless. So now if it's ownerless, anyone can go and acquire it. So there are certain actions that would be a display of chazaka, a display that this field of the convert is fully in my control, that I acquire the field. So those actions that are a chazaka, that would show ownership to acquire a field, to make a kinyan on a field, those are the types of actions that if they go on for 3 years, then if the original owner didn't protest, that means that he surrendered his rights and that really he had sold it. But things that wouldn't be kona, things that would not acquire the ownerless, the field of a convert, they also would not create the presumption that the squatter, that the resident, is the winner of the case. So basically, the way the Rashbam suggests what the Gemara means is the Gemara is saying that the only activity that would be a chazaka, that would make a presumption that it's his because he did this activity for 3 years without the original owner protesting, is activity that benefits the field, not just uses the field. So, as we said, the Rashbam was of the opinion earlier that a man who takes the fruits off of the trees in a convert's, dead convert's field, does not acquire the field, because he's using the field, he's not benefiting the field. Whereas somebody who builds up the field, he trims the tree for the sake of the tree, right? He trims on all sides, so it's for the sake of the tree, or he waters the field, he improves the field, then he would acquire it. So that's the type of activity that would also create cheska shalosh shanim. But usage doesn't. So now we have an answer. If I put my cow in your courtyard, I'm using your courtyard. I'm not building up your courtyard. If that courtyard that I'm putting the cow in would be an ownerless courtyard, the fact that I put the cow in it would not make the courtyard mine. But if I put the cow in, plus I build a wall in it, so now I've built it up, that's already a sign of acquisition that could acquire the ownerless field, that also can work to create a presumption that my case is right when the other man doesn't protest. The Maskeflor of Sheshes. Rav Sheshes challenged this proposed rule or this standard of Ula. Uklalahu, is there really such a rule? Vairei Nir, what about plowing? We learned that if there's a field that's ownerless, a field that had belonged to a convert who dies, plowing does work to acquire it. And if I wanted to create a chazaka, I do not create a chazaka through plowing. That's not enough to acquire. To create a presumption that it's mine.
Rabbi, the convert, you said, you know, if he dies, his property becomes ownerless.
Yes.
Okay. But if he has kids,
depends when he had those kids. Did he have those kids before he converted or after he converted?
But if the kids
could. So if he.
They're not related because they start anew with their conversion.
So his kids are not entitled to. If how about if they were born after he converted?
Then they get it.
Yeah. Then they're Jewish.
Then they get it.
Yeah. How about prior to his.
No, then they don't get his possessions.
How about if they convert simultaneously?
Doesn't help because every convert, the moment of conversion, is a new beginning. When the convert converts, it's like a child being born. It's a completely new beginning.
So he cannot do simultaneously with his kids and the whole family convert?
They can all convert, but now they're not considered a family anymore. They're now considered separate individuals.
Oh, he's doing this, he's doing this, I didn't know that. Wow. He's doing this act of Kenya. How do we distinguish that between he's trying to, you know, he's doing it for 3 years or he's doing it right away because he bought it? It's only if the owner is right there and agreeing that this is an act of Kenyan. In other words, somebody buys the field, he does that act of Kenyan, it's his immediately.
Yeah, but then there are witnesses, there's an owner, yeah, he sold, he paid for it.
If the case is you used the field for 2 years, and so you don't have ownership, you didn't build the wall, your cows were there, but you didn't build the wall, and in the last year or even 2 months before the last year, you build the wall. Because it's 3 years from the time you build the wall.
That's what it sounds like. It has to be 3 years from the wall. That's right. So now the Gemara asks, but still, is this such a rule? Hare achilas peros. Let's say eating the fruits on a tree that's in a field. If I get the fruits off of a field for 3 years, that is a chazaka. That we learned in the very first Mishnah, that there's even an opinion it doesn't have to be 3 years, just the three harvests. And yet, benichsei ager lo kana, whereas to acquire the field of an ownerless field, the field of a convert who dies, it doesn't acquire. So we're back to the question. What's pshat in the Mishnah? That building a wall is a chazaka, but using my friend's field with my cows is not a chazaka. Ela amar Rav Nachman, Rav Baravua. So rather, Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav Baravua, hacha b'chatzar ashut v'naskina. Our Mishnah is dealing with partners who jointly own a courtyard. And now I and Jason own a courtyard together, and I keep my my cows in this courtyard to walk around the entirety of the courtyard for 3 years, and Jason didn't protest. So, Amada Kadilo Kapti, the fact that I used it by putting up a cow there, we expect Jason not to protest, so that's not a proof that he sold to me his part of the partnership. But I'm a chitza, but once I'm putting up walls in it, so then Kapti, he would have protested. So why didn't he protest? The fact that he didn't protest is a sign that he sold it to me. So Gemara says, is it true that in partners, they don't mind if people use their stuff, if each other uses his stuff? Uva amad kdi lo kapti, just standing up an animal, he wouldn't be upset because he's a partner. Fatam, we learned in a Mishnah in Meseches Nedarim. Hashutfin, shenadru andan zemizeh. If partners made a neder, let's say Zev and Reuven are partners, and Zev made a neder that Reuven can't get any benefit from him, and Reuven made a neder that Zev can't get any benefit from his property. So asurin likanes lechatzer, they can't walk into the courtyard, because if I'm walking into the courtyard, I'm also walking on Reuven's part, and I'm getting benefit from Reuven's part. We just said that they don't care about people walking in and using. Apparently, it's not a benefit, but here we just said it is a benefit. So, El Amar Rav Nachman and Rav Baravua. So again, we're back to a problem in the Mishnah. Why is there a difference between using his field or courtyard for my animals versus building something in his field or courtyard? El Amar Rav Nachman. So, rather, Rav Nachman said, "Amar Rav Baravua." Acha berchava shalachorei batim askinan. Here we're dealing with a backyard that is behind a home. So the backyard is owned by a lot of people. The other residents, they don't mind when I put things there, when I put a cow there. I'm a chitza kapti. So therefore, the fact that they weren't upset for 3 years when I put my cows there is not a proof that it's mine. But they would be upset if I built a yard, if I built a wall back there. So if they're normally upset by my building a wall, and I built a wall and nobody said anything for 3 years, that's a proof that my claim that I bought that yard is in fact fair. So in other words, as the Rashbam says, there's a difference between the front courtyard, where people are upset about even stuff being there, because they don't want any clutter to be able to get things in and out of the house, and the backyard. The backyard can get messy, so they don't care if I have my animal there. So that's not a proof that I bought it, to be able to have my animal. The fact that I had my animal there is not a proof that I really bought the rights. But to build there, well, that is a proof that I bought the rights, because they wouldn't have been quiet for 3 years and just allow me to put up a structure there. That's an answer for the Mishnah.
Mechitza is a mandatory part of ownership. It has to be, right, Rabbi?
Wow. Well,
you
it could have.
You cannot put your animal in a field and don't put a fence around it.
If he has a contract, so then that we don't have the whole issue. If he has he claims he bought it. He claims he bought the backyard from all the other residents of the building.
Let's go back to the
Where's
field,
his contract? So no, that would have resolved it.
The
so he didn't have to do anything. If he doesn't have a contract, so he's trying to win the case based on chazaka. So that's what the Mishnah says. The chazaka has to be an activity that under normal circumstances people would have protested. And the fact that they didn't is what creates the chazaka.
Okay,
so if it's an animal, they wouldn't protest anyway. So that doesn't create a chazaka. A machitza, they would have protested. Yeah, that creates a chazaka.
Well, that's for the backyard. Let's go to the field. You know, in the field now. Okay, now we're talking about in the field right now.
Yeah.
If he puts his animal in the field, okay, that doesn't make him the owner automatically. He has to have the mechitza, which
no,
is the warning.
No,
right?
We're saying the animal also would be enough to create a chazaka, because the animal's eating what's in the field.
So why do they have to say we have to put a fence around it?
Because we're saying it's only talking about a case of a backyard. In a backyard, only a fence creates the chazaka. But in a field where there's produce and he's eating produce, we say that eating produce is creating a chazaka.
Because it was the same law in the field too.
That's what we had begun by saying, but now we've moved off of that. Because we said that in the chazaka of a field, we see that eating the produce does create a chazaka of the field.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah?
I'm sorry. So this that basically nothing could be used.
Right?
That's finished.
Right? Right? Yeah, because they prohibited each other.
That's it.
That's right. Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa gave another resolution for the Mishnah. He said like this, Idi v'idi b'chatzer ha-shutfin. Both the Mishnah in Nedarim that says when partners prohibited their property on each other, so then nobody can walk in the field. That's talking about a jointly owned field or a jointly owned courtyard. In our Mishnah that says that if I put my animals in the courtyard, that's not yet a proof of ownership, even though that went on for 3 years. Only if I put up a wall and that went on for 3 years would it be a proof of ownership. And they're both dealing with a jointly owned courtyard. But the answer is like this. Ika de Kapti, there are some people who get upset when somebody is using their stuff. Equal to low copy. There are other people who don't get upset. So therefore, Gabi Mimona, in regards to, you know, deciding who owns money, Lakula, then we're lenient. And we say, you know what? Maybe the fact that you used the field for 3 years and there was no protest is not a proof that you own the field. Because maybe the field that you were using was of a person who doesn't mind that people use his stuff. But Gabi Yisura, but in regards to possibly violating a neder, so then we can't be lenient. We're talking about a prohibition, l'chumra. We say, listen, if I said you can't use his stuff, maybe what he means you can't use his stuff, it's all the things that people are ever upset about. Some people are upset about usage too, not just building. Therefore, you can't even walk into the field. Ravina Amar Ravina said, l'olam lo kapti. People do not get upset when someone else uses their stuff. So therefore, the fact that somebody used my field for 3 years would not give him a chazaka. Only building a wall would give him a chazaka. Aye, we said, but in the Nedarim we see that people do care about people using their stuff. If I made a neder that my partner can't use my stuff, then my part can't benefit from me. My partner can't even walk into the field that we jointly own. Mani Rebbe Lezi, maybe that was a special view. That was the view of Rebbe Lezer. The time we look at a bride, Rebbe Lezer Omer, Rebbe Lezer says that when someone creates a prohibition of getting benefit, afilu vitur, even that which is normally just forgiven, asur b'mudar ana, is prohibited to the man upon whom a vow was placed that he can't get any benefit. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, I'm Mishum Rabbanat. Rabbi Yochanan said the name Rabbanat. Bakol shutfin ma'akvin zetze. When you have partners, so the partners can prevent each other from doing things in the courtyard. So let's say one partner wants to put up an oven, the other partner doesn't want an oven in the courtyard, he can stop him. Chutz min akvisa. But one partner can't stop his friend from doing laundry. Why? Because if my friend can't do laundry in the courtyard, what's the alternative? That means that his wife has to go down to the river and wash clothing in public. Ein darkam shobnos Yisrael is basas alakvisa. It's not right. It's not respectful to Jewish women to make them do laundry in public, to bend over a river and thereby possibly expose themselves. And therefore, even if I'm a partner and I'm normally a difficult partner, I don't allow the other partner to do stuff in the courtyard, I can't stop him from doing laundry in the courtyard. Because doing laundry is not just a financial issue, but it's an issue of tznius, it's an issue of modesty to be able to save his wife from having to be debased in doing laundry in public. And that's a very important point. We're not allowed to look at women if they are exposed for whatever reason. So the pasuk says, "Otsem einav meraos bira," he who closes his eyes from seeing any misfortune, any bad thing, he will be blessed. Am Reb Chiya bar Abba, zesh ein mistakel benashim b'shash omdos alak visa. That's a man who won't gaze at a woman who is doing laundry by the river because it's not respectful. It's violating to look at a woman who is partially undressed. So the Gemara says, hey, Chidami, what's the case? If there was another road, he didn't have to walk by the river. So Rashi, he's a wicked person for allowing himself to be in an immodest setting. If there was no other road. So Anasu, so then why is he wrong for seeing the women exposed? He had no choice. It was out of his control. So the Gemara says, no, lolam deleka darkachita. There was no other road. Afilu hachi, and even so, the pasuk is saying a man has to prevent himself from seeing a woman exposed. Miboy le lemenas nafshe, he should force himself to not look at the women who are bent over by the river doing the laundry. Boy, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Banah. Rabbi Yochanan asked the question of Banah. Chalak shel Talmud Chacham ketzad. What is the robe of a Talmud Chacham supposed to look like? How does the tunic of a Talmud Chacham look like? What makes it respectful? So he answers, it has to be very long. Kol shein besaro nir mitachtov. It has to be long enough that his flesh is not visible underneath the hem of the tunic. In other words, it goes all the way to his feet, all the way to his shoes. Talish al Talmud Chacham ketzad. How long is the cloak of the Talmud Chacham? Kol shein chaluko nir mitachtov. Tefach. Long enough that the tefach of the chaluk is not seen underneath it. In other words, that the cloak fully covers the entire robe. Shulchan shel Talmud Chacham ketzad. What is the style of the table of a Talmud Chacham? Shnei shlishei gdil, two-thirds are covered with a cloth. Shlish kilai, and only a third is uncovered. V'alav karos v'yerek, and the vegetables and the pots of food are on the uncovered part. Again, this is all to show respect and prevent a mess on the table. Now, the table itself, it's habato mibachutz. The ring of the table should be on the outside, not on the part where people are sitting. Oh, very good. Great. Thank you. Very helpful. Ask the Gemara, I have a tiny tabato mibachutz. But we learned that the ring is on the inside where people are sitting. Lokash, it's not a question. Hadiki yinuka, here there's a child. So when there's a child, you have to keep the ring away from him. Hadaleka yinuka. And when there's no child, so then we want the ring where the people are sitting so that the waiter not get damaged by the ring. By the same alternatively, Hava Adaleka Yanuka, both are where they don't have a child. The Lokash is not a contradiction. Hadika Shama, if there's a waiter, we want the ring away from the waiter so it's on the inside, so he won't get hurt by it. Adaleka Shama, here's where you don't have a waiter. By the same alternatively, Hava Adika Shama, both are when you have a waiter. The Lokash is not a contradiction. Habi Amama, one is during the day, so he could see where the ring is. Ablelaila, here's at night, and that's why the ring should be on the inside where the people are sitting so that the waiter not get hurt by it.